Happy Thanksgiving from Sprouts.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathurst Pier's Broadsides, the Thanksgiving edition. Though, hey, I don't know how much thanks you'll be getting for, or will be giving you or getting, and how many turkeys are going to be dealt with here. But there's certainly one here that you can talk to if you'd like. So call in and go. Cholos. That's by Grito Serpentino. I'm Robert Norris, and this is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides, the Thanksgiving 2005 show. Welcome. I don't know if anybody's out there listening tonight. Probably folks are all gathered around the old table, chawing down on tofu or turkey or some substitute thereof. I got back from the vet's hall where there was the usual big annual shindig there where they and, time to unbutton the belt and get into business here. a bit late in the month, but I was finally able to round up Street Spirits. That's the newspaper the American Friends Service Committee puts out, sometimes has articles by Santa Cruz authors on homeless civil rights issues and local issues, mostly homeless civil rights. It's mainly a homeless publication. This issue of Street Spirit, the November issue, has lots of stuff on the anti-war movement. And for those of you who can't find a hard copy, and it may be kind of hard to do because our distribution network has become somewhat attenuated, to say the least, you can go to the website. The Street Spirit has a website at, as you might imagine, www.thestreetspirit.org. And you can read the whole spare changing without having to just stand there with your hand out, but actually give something back in return that is concrete and, I think, a useful service to the community. Give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Huff is, of course, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, organization I work with, concerned with restoring civil rights in Santa Cruz. And we can hook you up with copies of this paper. I'm hoping to also get the paper to the library. Usually we get it there sooner or later, in this case later in the month. And you can read it there. You can also usually find copies at the Homeless Service Center out at Coral Street, or at Paige Smith Community House, also out at Coral Street, 115 Coral, right near the intersection of Highway 1 and Highway 9. You can also get in touch with activist Becky Johnson, who's still the Street Spirit vendor and distributor. I don't think she's actually gotten the spirit yet for this month, but if you give her a call, she can get it for you. 479-9291 is her phone number in case you want to get in touch with her for the homeless newspaper. Give it a try there. Or you can give me a call on the Huff line. It's a message phone. I regret to announce I'm still in search of housing, a real Robert, but I will get back to you. 423-HUFF. You can also come to a Huff meeting. Huff meets every Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning still. We're talking about going a bit later, but we're still going early. That's at the county courthouse, there we go, between the county courthouse, actually, and the county building in the kind of open-air atrium area, the breezeway near the coffee cart, right outside the area where you go in past the metal detectors. And that's every Wednesday morning, 8:30 in the morning. We chat about homeless issues, give a lot of updates from folks who've been feeling the chill of the street, so to speak. And some of that stuff I actually play here on free radio. I'll probably be doing it either today, some of it, and if not today, then on Sunday when I also do a second edition of this show. And that's a longer one, starts at 9:30, runs till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You can be on the air if you have commentary to make yourself. Free radio welcomes public service announcements generally. If you got something you want to announce, you can give a call, 427-3772. If you want to make it a repeated announcement and put it on at other times, let's say, as a kind of a regular announcement, you've got some community event coming up, you can give a call to the Free Radio Santa Cruz voicemail line, which is 427-4523, 427-4523. And we're, of course, looking for donations, checks, equipment, suggestions, literature, CDs, DVDs, QEDs, SOBs, you name it. And you can come to the Huff, the Freak Radio website, or Free Radio. We are www.freakradio.org, or 101.1 FM is, of course, where you're listening to us on. You can hear us streaming at Freak Radio. You can also reach us there if you want to kick down some money or get a message through to us. Or you can give a call to 427-4523 to leave a PSA or a question or a comment or learn how to apply for a show, perhaps, because that's also a possibility for anybody listening in who wants to be part of the station. You can reach me on air at 427-FRSC, 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772, and that's going to be the prospect for the next 2 hours. And while I'm keeping an eye on the phone line so that I don't miss you in case you call in, I'm going to jump back now to something I promised on Sunday. A week ago Saturday, there was a memorial for Richard Quigley. Richard Quigley is a uncompromising, principled activist who has lymphoma, who has been struggling for free speech rights for poor people, particularly those folks who are faced with what we call homeless, ethnic, or social cleansing, such as Jerry Henry out at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. He's been long a supporter of the rights of the community to gather there and a supporter of Jerry Henry's and Henry's fight to be able to use that community space and to advise young people who come around without being harassed by security guards or sheriff's deputies or folks from the local businesses or judges. And that struggle is still continuing. Richard has been a longtime supporter of that. He's been a challenger of the state helmet law, which he puts his head where his mouth is. In this case, he's been repeatedly ticketed for wearing what the police regard as an inadequate helmet, but he has won to the extent that he is no longer ticketed by Santa Cruz or Watsonville police or sheriff's deputies. Only the California Highway Patrol, as we see, is notorious for a number of things, but the thing that kind of tipped the balance was when Quigley was a KSCO radio broadcaster, and he broadcasts every Thursday, and the shows are still archived on Quigley's website. If you go to, if you Google for Quigley KSCO, I believe you can find his archived stuff. And if you can't, give me a call on the Huff line, 423-HUFF, and I'll help you reach it. But for a year, every Thursday between 12:15 and 1, he did quite a show dealing with a variety of subjects, but also touching on abuses in the sheriff's department. And apparently Tracy got so pissed at that, the radio station owner Michael Zwirling didn't have the courage to, or perhaps the good sense, hard to tell which, maybe both, to retain Quigley during that period of time as a commentator, but made him leave the air because he had sued the police department. Quigley won his lawsuit against the police department and last Saturday. And I think that's archived on KSCO. In any case, he decided, since he hasn't got too long to live, according to the doctors, although we have to see what's going to happen with that, he decided to throw his own wake and preside over his wake so he could hear just what folks were going to be saying about him. And so I got there late in the game, but I did record some interesting interviews with folks, and I'm going to play that now. And I want to take my helmet off to Richard Quigley. I don't have a helmet, and perhaps that's appropriate because some people would say neither does Richard.
And we're switching to slow speed here at the Quigley wake. It's about 3:40 on Saturday the 12th. We're talking with B.E. Smith. No longer in prison, it seems. What's been happening with you, B? You were sent to jail for medical marijuana growing, right?
Yes, I was the first federal test case in medical marijuana, and back in 1997 I got busted. I went to prison in 1999 for 2 years and got out, did 3 years probation, and now I'm ready to kick butt again.
And how long were you... What's been happening since? Are you still growing?
Yes, I'm growing more now than ever before. How you doing?
So, B, has it deterred you in any way? Have you felt intimidated after how many, 3 years? And
I did 24 months.
24 months.
And 2 weeks before I got out, the Ninth Circuit said that the judge, Burrell from Sacramento, said that I served, that he sentenced me to up to 1 year too much time. And he didn't let me out until the day I got out of prison.
The judge isn't much of a smoker, I imagine.
No, he's not a smoker.
Now, you also, of course, were famous for incorporating take us to a magistrate requirements, and you would drive around your native city up there with your taillight broken simply in order to encourage the police to understand that they have obligations under the law.
When I go trolling, the best way I do it is I hang my seatbelt out the door and let it skip off the pavement, or ride a dirt bike in town with no helmet and like you said, no taillight, and then when they pull me over, teach them what the law says. process.
And have you done that recently?
Not recently. The reason I'm not trolling for cops anymore is because I understand now that the cops are not our enemies. It's the prosecutors and the judges. That's our enemy today. The cops are not. The cops are just like you and I.
B.E., what cases are coming up we should pay particularly close attention to here in Santa Cruz and across the state of California?
Well, I'm not paying any attention to any cases right now. What I'm trying to do now is start a fund, and mainly victimless crimes. And if we can get them organized, we can be a big force in politics.
And how is that going?
It's just on a very beginning level now, and that's one reason I came down to see Richard, was to see if he wanted to help me get it started in Santa Cruz County.
Now, B.E., you probably know Michael Zwirling of KSCO. You know B.E. Smith, the famous felon, marijuana felon, first one held.
How you doing?
Michael?
Yes.
Michael, how you doing?
Now, Michael, you're here. What brings you to this neck of the woods?
Richard! Our good buddy. Presumably what brings you to the neck of the woods, too, right? And everybody here.
Indeed. Well, I know that your station has been subjected to lawsuits because of Richard. He's actually won one when they came to your station and told you to, you know, to shut down Richard or shut up. And essentially, was that an intimidating factor for people at KSCO?
Absolutely. You know, our staff handled it all. I had nothing to do with it, but I very much approve of how they handled it.
And, of course, you're in the middle of controversy now in the notorious Sanford case. What's happening with that?
Nothing.
There's nothing
happening right now.
So there's no lawsuit happening. Or?
Well, there's pending litigation, but I can't say what's happening because I don't know.
Huh. So any comments? Tell me a little bit about Richard and what you think we should know about him based on your experiences with him at KSCO.
He's a hell of a guy. He's a freedom fighter. He's one of a kind. He's a good guy who does the right thing. Mm-hmm. He has integrity. And I'm very sad that he's ill, and hopefully hopefully he'll go into remission here and we'll have him for some more time.
I know I was critical of KSCO for not offering him this time slot back again after and dumping him for a year, in my mind. What are you going to now, I don't know if he's going to be interested because he's not well.
But. You know, what we did is we've always asked him to be a fill-in host. And he's always wanted to be a fill-in host. I asked him if he wanted to be a fill-in host, and he said, sure, give me a call. So we've given him a call.
What about his regular show that was canceled because of, I guess you said, because of the lawsuit? You didn't want him around during the lawsuit?
Yeah. It's not a wise thing to have someone who is the subject of litigation beyond the radio, because it could cause more problems.
Well, I would think he would be an inspiration to people around, saying we're not going to be intimidated by having him continue to do his work on the radio, because it seemed to me inappropriate Sheriff Tracy did.
What we told Richard was that he was certainly welcome to continue to have his radio program if he chose not to litigate. It's the fact it was his decision to litigate, and he totally understood our position.
But why would litigating, which is a way of asserting your rights, result in his having to truncate his rights on the air?
We elected not to participate in anything that involved litigation if it's something that we could avoid.
But I'm suggesting that may have been the wrong decision, sent the wrong message. Don't you think it might have been a stronger decision to say, we don't care if you're litigating. This is the First Amendment. We believe in the First Amendment. We're keeping our talk show host on. You got a problem with Richard? Take him to court.
You could be right. You could be right, Robert. Maybe we made the wrong decision. But somehow we get through life.
Or some of us sooner, some of us later.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Michael. Anything else you want to add?
Is this on your radio?
This will be on Free Radio tomorrow. And you're welcome to call in and talk about KSCO on Free Radio if you'd like.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
What's the dial position?
We're at 101.1. Say that again.
And one thing we Californians have to do, and we got to do it quickly, is to repeal the Constitution Amendment in the state of California that makes the State Bar of California a public corporation. Now, that's evil. That's very evil. Attorneys are not evil. I'm not against attorneys one bit. I love attorneys. Some of my best buddies are attorneys. I don't like the State Bar, nor the American Bar Association, mainly because, or number one reason, it's a corporation. And they can't enter into the common law realm like Patrick Henry did. They're unable to because they have a card. Now, once the...
litigants... Huh? Go ahead.
Which can be heard at 1080 a.m. every day and every night. And also, I guess, 1340 is the sister station. Zwirling, of course, would not allow me on the air after I said the poisonous words, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and invited people to continue the discussion that we had had on his show, at his invitation, on a subsequent show on Free Radio. Apparently, he claimed this was a form of commercial advertising and that it was something that he had the right to censor. And I've often takes, and you kind of can catch a bit of the ironic tone in my voice when I tell him that I will be happy to have him talk about radio station KSCO here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. More from the Quigley Memorial.
It's our corporations, federal, state, municipal, county, they're all corporations. And it's like Ben Franklin said, corporations are good if we control them. Now, we haven't controlled the corporations. We haven't controlled government. Government got way too big, and the reason it's gotten big is because it's a corporation. Corporations are designed to get bigger, and if you don't control them like we haven't, it's the people's fault. You can't blame nothing on government.
Well, why is the fact that there's a corporation involving attorneys something that we should be concerned about? It sounds a little arcane, but maybe there's a reason for it.
There's a reason, and the reason is an attorney, why he's carrying a card issued by the public corporation, he's unable to go into the common law realm like Patrick Henry did.
And well, what does that mean? And put that in more common, simpler terms for those who don't understand what that means.
Well, he can't fight tyranny, put it bluntly. An attorney today fights under statutory law. He cannot enter the common law, and we forgot what common law was in this country. We still have common law. The jury, trial, common law, writ of habeas corpus, common law. The Constitution is a common law document.
Well, we have a lot of common outlaws keeping people locked up at Guantanamo. What's that all about?
Well, in war, there's no rules. I was in Vietnam, and let's face it, there's no rules.
War? What war? So the government can claim to declare war against some private party somewhere and then say there are no rules?
Well, of course they can. I mean, they got the guns. It's not right, but they can do it because they got the guns and the powers to do it. Because our government doesn't represent us in America today. We know that. It's a corporation. And we can't win these guys. It's easy to beat them. Take their money away from them.
I like it. I like it. B.E., how can people get in touch with you and learn more about? Got a website, stuff like that?
I had one when I was running for governor. It's no longer being used right now. I just got a home phone number. If you'd like to call me and talk to me, be my guest.
You want that put on the air?
530-629-4357. You're welcome very much.
Sure,
we're talking with...
I'm going to have a surprise poem.
Yes.
For the Board of Supervisors.
Can you give us a preview of it for tomorrow's free radio? Because they probably won't be listening, but others will.
No, because it's a surprise.
It's a surprise. Can you give it to us, and then later on we'll play it after the surprise is over?
If you like it.
Give me the poem. She's a little self-conscious, but still, what's it about? What's the poem about?
It's about councils.
About, like, boards and
boards,
city councils,
yeah.
and clowns of that sort.
Right, right. That's all I can say, because it's a surprise.
And on what issue will this be about?
Many issues.
Many issues. So, for those who are interested, Tuesday, 9 o'clock, there's fifth floor of the county building.
Yes, right. I'll be the first to speak on anything you want to talk about.
And you'll be, and again, your name is?
Jeannie Soderman.
And what brings you to the Quigley Memorial?
Oh, Quigley's a friend. Just a dear friend.
Well,
is he your friend, too,
yeah.
Bob?
Yeah. He was all our friend. He is all our... Well, it's a wake. He was all our friend.
Yes, he is. Well, he is.
Have we had three cheers for Quigley yet?
Hooray!
Hip, hip, hooray! At least that's one cheer, right? Thanks.
Yeah. No, don't record.
Yeah.
and we're trying to get interviews with reluctant people here. And, Jim Ahern, you're
always talking.
Jim, what's new? Are you continuing to castigate poor Tony Madrigal in abusive terms for his behavior at your union?
Well, profanity is just one of the weapons we use. The other one is reality. Having them push me in many different directions and explaining to them that, in fact, the union is a concept and an idea, therefore an illusion at best, and they're doing a lot of work to justify being paid by perpetuating this illusion, by making meetings, by requiring people to be at certain places. So to justify themselves, I explain to them, for me, it's about love. It's
about
my job.
You are with the in-home care workers, part of the SEIU, and you're concerned about what issues internally that we should know about that are important to us externally.
Well, as the second largest chapter, we've been ignored from the beginning. We were told we were going to get health care for every member. We were told we were going to get dignity. We were told we were going to get a lot, you know, more money in education. And so far, it's been only through the efforts of the members we have any of that. Any of it.
And so what's coming up that people should be aware of, and what new plots do you have in store for us?
Well, I think Tony, driving around in his brand new Lexus, is having just a high old time. What they've done now is substitute in another woman to...
That was a biker taking his fond farewell. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know how I can top that. That was phenomenal. So,
but you're going to give us what's coming up. That was that came and went.
Ah, what's coming up? Well, at the current time, they're still trying to impeach me as president of the home care chapter. They're trying to actually change the bylaws in order to do that. But luckily, democracy and rules are written for a reason. Instead of being able to impeach someone with just two votes, they're going to have to go with half the chapter. They're going to have to stay with the laws.
And when is that going to come up? When will we hear about that?
Within 3 weeks.
Thank you, Jim. This is on Free Radio. So we're talking with Paul Sandberg. There's going to be a service here today?
Well, it's been...
And before we get into Attorney Paul Sanford's... activity, which was an interesting event that happened at the Quigley Memorial, rather controversial in some respects. Just a quick note on the last interview. Tim Ahern is the head of the in-home care workers, who has been challenging SEIU 2004 when Tony Madrigal was running for city council. His response has been to first duck the human rights organization, which brought the issue to his attention. And then when his open discussion about the issue at a public meeting was played on the air, to break off all relations with the human rights organization. And that seemed to me to be a way of punishing the messenger because he didn't like the message, which essentially was they were holding up a mirror to him and saying, look, you made promises back in the fall about poor people. You oppose, this is my word, perhaps not theirs, as a champion of labor and modification on the sleeping ban, one that I felt was completely inadequate, but which they thought would be a beginning. They being the Human Rights Organization, which, for those who are interested, meets every Saturday at 1:45 out at the Homeless Service Center. And they're like somewhat similar to Huff. They're concerned about abolishing laws that criminalize the poor. They had a great event. Last Saturday. I'll be playing some tape from that event probably this Sunday on the show, maybe even tonight if things get, you are listening to Free Radio, 101.1 FM. Also, freakradio.org is where we're streaming. I'm Robert Norris, and this is called Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. And we've got a call-in number, 427-3772, in case you want to call in. There's also a chat room, pagesincolor.org, where you can go and can jump on board and write your thoughts, and I will read them on the air in case you don't want to speak them or can't speak them for some reason. I'm getting looking at the chat room right now, and I see that the Santa Cruz Indie Media has an announcement of an Angela Davis event, which apparently one chatter on the chat room wants me to mention. I'll be discussing also the Pages in Color website, which hosts us on Thursdays and Sundays, so you can actually talk to the show, this chat room. The Pages in Color website is also going to be discussing some other stuff, the case of Tukey, 24/7. That's the guy that's about to be executed up in San Quentin, I guess, in mid-December. In response to the Southern California AM radio show that now has the Tukey Must Die hour every day until December 13th. And you can check out more discussion at pagesincolor.com. Or you can meet up with the author of Pages in Color, who's a member of the Human Rights Organization, at the Human Rights Organization meeting, where he will be showboating in on Saturday, 1:45. So you can check him out. More from the Quigley Memorial.
Engaging service for Richard, and I don't know what else will happen.
Maybe some legal service coming up, do I understand? Or is that still, should we say, undercover?
I'm just here at this point. I'll be happy to talk with you about all kinds of things, but I'm not able to discuss what might, may or may not happen.
In the next 5 minutes.
Well, my person isn't here.
But there may be some sort of legal service coming up in the case of Zwirling.
I'm not saying whether there may or may not.
Zwirling versus Sanford.
I'm focusing on the event for Richard, and I don't want to make sure to do nothing that would disrupt it.
I frankly believe the more political activity, the better. But hey, I think it's just commendable that
you know what.
Yes, you've giving us the update. Thank you, Paul.
If you were near any moment within five, then something would happen. If you're near him, someone may arrive and do something, and you might say, "Hey, what's happening?" Or you might not.
All right,
because you're a reporter.
Indeed.
Speaking the generic, I'm not setting up anything.
Of course.
I'm here to respect Richard.
Thank you. Talking with Pat Fremmer, who's checking out the scene. Pat, why are you coming to this ragamuffin's wake?
Because I love him.
With
Nick Boyd
and
Theodora.
And what brings you two to this Quigley Memorial, or should I say, any comments about pertinent issues that you think Richard would like us to know about, or you would like us to know about?
Richard is a dying breed, sport, and nobody wants to do it. I'm not going to let him go. I'm just going to put it that way. He can't leave because there's no one replacing him.
We've been talking with
Nick Boyd.
Theodora, any comment on that?
Well, it's not a memorial because Richard is still here. And one of my missions here was to share some healing information. People are healing themselves from cancer with ayahuasca and sharing information on how he might connect with that if he's interested. But as long as you're still alive, the experiment continues. And the sooner you get out of the hands of the doctors, the better the experiment
could
go.
I remember that our friend, the drummer, Tamarax, has successfully had that experience.
And that's the information I'm sharing.
Because he had to go to Peru to get the whole treatment.
I figured in talking with him, for less than $2,000, you could actually do...
It'll kick in $20 a piece.
Yeah, for less than $2,000, you could go down for a month, be guided by, curanderos, shamans, and he's already helped two people through the process, and they've both been able to cure their cancer.
And learn how to speak Spanish at the same time?
You don't need to, because you're beyond words. You're...
Down there.
Yeah. I shared the information with Kate.
I like your hat.
If you're interested in it, I can, about this, the IO. I really want him to be encouraged to look at this seriously, because it's the only cure I know where, you don't have to be juicing things. He's not going to do a cleansing regime on his body. You don't have to.
Who is this individual you're talking to, Ray? It looks vaguely familiar.
We belong to a motorcycle club together.
He's a biker?
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
I'm a Quigley backer and biker.
Quigley backer. Is that B with a B?
I'm wearing my helmet.
Got your Shaloni Vineyard helmet on. How long have you been biking around with Quigley?
And actually, the person I'm now talking to, the first guy, Ray, is, of course, Ray Glock-Grunike, who for years, as an attorney, fought for the rights of poor and homeless people. He then got overloaded, got disbarred, and now continues to work as a legal worker and a Green Party activist, hopefully in the sight of the future day when he'll get back into recover his bar credential, which requires a payment, a lot of back fines and so forth. With him is Judge Tom Kelly, who is the only judge that I know who came to this memorial, and he's the other voice you hear speaking.
Oh, God, we've been biking at each other probably about 10 years.
Biking and barking?
Yes, both. Yeah. As full and as elegant as yours, but still not too shabby.
And what about you, Ray? Anything you want to say about that?
I've already said all the defamation I can about Quigley today. But he's a good man, and you heard my Lawyers and Outlaws speech.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. In 1978, you heard it. I had to repeat myself today.
Well, summarize in three sentences, please.
Lawyers need their outlaws, and outlaws need their lawyers, and what lawyers need their outlaws for, at least a certain brand of outlaws, is to teach them the real meaning of law. And Quigley fits into that category of outlaw that teaches lawyers and judges the real meaning of the law.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
You know, he's actually succinct this time. Did you notice that?
Three sentences. We sentence you to do that every time you speak.
Thank you.
That was a great one. Natural marijuana is being passed around here.
Smell those reefers.
See, there, step over there and share it. Marijuana. 2 minutes, yes.
I got to run. Michael, thank you very much for stopping by. Your mom came by earlier. It was wonderful to see her. I couldn't believe it.
She said she was coming.
She
wouldn't miss it.
I know.
Nor would I.
What an honor. It was so sweet to have her here. Charity?
Yeah.
You okay?
And Richard is leaving the festivities.
I'll see you guys.
You're going back to the suite?
Oh, really? That's interesting. We have someone approaching here, I think, about to serve Michael Zwirling with papers.
Number 22nd.
And some papers are served here. My goodness. What are these papers, Mike? What's this about?
Oh, you were just served? Right now?
What is this lawsuit about? Do we know? Or looks like it. I was served one of these once when I went to stay away from the farmer's market, but I paid no heed.
It's like the same one.
You've served a second time?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they like doing it so much. And do
so what?
Serve you at this thing? That's...
So what is this now?
So what would this serve?
See, that's because you have your shoes and shirt on.
Now, what this lawsuit, of course, is Paul Sanford talked about on the air. Paul Sanford is the lawyer who defended... The two women, Amy Courtney and Cassandra Brown, who put the anti-war banners up on the freeway in 2001, the same time as all the flags were going up and were told by the Highway Patrol to take them down. He's defended the Camp Paradise defendants, folks who are homeless folks living in a homeless encampment in 2001 and 2002. He's defended the homeless man John Maurer and his... Looks like he's going to be causing a change in the city's downtown ordinance, the panhandling law, when Maurer had a little sign in his hat, fuck the pigs, after he'd been harassed repeatedly and then got harassed more for that sign. And Sanford successfully took him to court. More recently, Sanford has been in Washington trying to start his own news bureau. And he's a professor of law over in... Monterey County, one of those colleges down there, and his dispute with Michael Zwirling of KSCO took place when Zwirling precipitously, in my view, if facts are correct as I understand them, canceled a contract because he said he hadn't cashed the check, and the story kind of came out in the Metro. Santa Cruz, I think Sarah Phelan, whoever does the news column, talked about it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And Paul Sandra is also featured as on the front page of the Good Times as well. So he's had a lot of local publicity on this issue. And it was at the Quigley Memorial that he chose to serve this lawsuit on Zwirling, which in essence demanded that he be either allowed airtime that he paid for or presumably get some damages, if I understand it properly. And this is more of that, what happened in the wake of that suit being passed on or served.
You have them on.
What is this, Michael? What is the issue here? What are you being served about?
I'm not going to talk about it, Robert, but I have already been served. It's the same complaint that I was served a week and a half ago.
This is about the program dispute between you and Paul Sanford?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. So, I don't know why.
No surprises.
Yeah. It's not a surprise. So. But I don't understand why it's a double thing.
You want to write my number
on
there?
Not worth the papers printed on.
Have you?
I publish my stuff on the internet.
Have you ever been sued?
Yes. Oh, yes.
By who?
I was sued by Janet Blazer, who was the head of the farmer's market, for entering the farmer's market. The lawsuit was dropped 2 weeks later, but she did sue me. She claimed that they wanted to get a restraining order to stop me from giving out leaflets at the farmer's market. That's the only time I've ever been sued that I remember. I've sued other people, though. Police departments and so forth. So. This is a shirt about Steve Argy.
And it was dropped, so you never had to go through a...
No. Actually, I was sued by the city council, by the mayor's secretary for harassment when we were lobbying. Yeah, it was called the Coffee Pledge, and it was in the Metro for about four years ago. And eventually we took it to court, took 6 months, hundreds of dollars. We had volunteer attorneys, and they dissolved the whole thing. It was nothing, but it's a pain in the ass.
That's all this is. It's just a joke.
It's not an issue about a broken contract around a program you agreed to.
Yes, it is.
It is.
That's all.
See, I got to be candid with you, Michael. We have had Paul Sanford on the air giving his point of view, and you're welcome to give yours.
Thank you. I'll remember that.
Yeah, tomorrow, for example, when I'll be playing.
MC needs exposure on the radio.
Yeah,
that's good enough.
Hey, free radio. It will be quite a coup to have you on free radio.
Yeah, I know. We've been
here, you know, in terms of not having him on the air when the lawsuit was going on. You might perhaps reconsider this issue about free radio too.
Okay.
Because we're a community service, you know that. At least I hope you do. We provide low-income access.
Do you have a webcast?
Yes. Yes, we do. It's actually on that card I gave you. It's freakradio.org.
Oh, okay.
So you can check it out.
Yeah, I would think that that's where you would get, you know, much more of your listeners.
We get both. Yeah, but we do get people from different countries actually calling us. Germany, not many, you know, a few. But it's local issues we talk about, just like KSCO.
Right.
Yes.
And actually, it wasn't on free radio I was referring to. Actually, I was referring to Michael Zwirling's pay radio, or KSCO, where Theodora was talking about, I guess, prostitution at that time, and that was replayed recently kind of as an archival show.
We need more of that, at least more liberalized approach. Jon Golder, are you now John Golder? You're here in your Patriots outfit with a Swiss Army knife, floppy pants.
The infamous.
Oh, the axe hit you to the punch, probably on that one. So anything new happening around? I know you've suffered all kinds of vehicle loss, property loss, liberty loss at the hands of city officials, local judges, and so forth, around issues where you were simply trying to get information about soccer sports fields and other city expenditures. Is that an issue that's sort of behind you now? Are you moving on to new stuff? What's happening?
I'm back to even a score, Robert.
And what does that involve? Tell us your strategy.
No.
Come on, reveal it all.
Are you kidding me?
We'll just have to keep watching.
No, just watch the headlines, that's all.
Thank you, Jon. Is it Jon or John these days?
It's Jon or John, either.
Thank you. With Jerry Henry, as essentially the event winds down, folks are putting the chairs together and gathering all the food up, and there's a kind of a print shop happening in the back where Quigley Memorial T-shirts are being printed. You have yourself a T-shirt on, which says the Quigley Factor Bolt. Hey, Nick, thank you. What?
I'm going to say it was a hell of a first week for Richard Quigley. We're looking for sequel number two next year.
Yes,
or
in 10 years.
And it was, yes, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And department of people, there were law attorneys, and there were cops.
Mark Tracy was not present, I noticed.
Kim Allen was.
Kim Allen did show up.
Yeah,
okay.
Kim Allen came by.
You know, maybe you can.
So.
Who were some of the? Or Kim Allen, of course, was the guy who Tracy
I don't
sent
know everybody.
To deliver a letter to KSCO.
No, I don't.
In those days, but it was unfortunate. But he actually is.
The highlight of mine. Were you here when B. Smith spoke?
I spoke to him after, but I did not hear him speak. No.
Oh, Matt, that was the neatest. Wanted the deal. He came out and wanted to start the Felons Club.
Yes, he mentioned that to me.
Okay, and he says 7% of California is felons, and if we all get together, they'll kiss our ass.
You could sell big time with that. Now,
with 7% of
the state. Yeah, it's a market,
and,
man.
That's what he said his next mission was. And
they're a tough group.
Yeah, it was.
Some of them are broken, but most are not. Yeah. Any updates on Rancho and what's happening there?
No, I told Richard I just hoped that maybe the nigger would get to have a cup of coffee one time. I told a story about
You're
Heather Morris.
Yourself.
Yeah, I told a story about Heather Morris saying she didn't mind me having a cup of coffee, but it was just going in coffee shops. I told her, well, was it really?
Yeah, you could wait outside by the colored entrance.
Yeah. Is it really just you don't mind a nigger drinking coffee? You just want him to go drink it at home?
I think that's perfectly reasonable, and I think you should understand.
It's equivalent. They've done thrown me off the bus.
Well, and of course, what Jerry Henry is talking about, for those who just tuned in, is discrimination by coffee shops at the Rancho Del Mar and Aptos or Pacific. Actually, it's the Aptos Center and the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. The coffee.
No, if I was that ugly, I would have put myself under.
I won't comment on that.
I told him, you know, Richard was the asshole. I wasn't the asshole.
Thank you, Jerry Henry.
Yeah. Sign.
Just met 415 and.
That does not really mean laryngitis. It means actually the speed of the tape recorder has changed. But that also signals the end of the segment on the Jerry Henry Memorial. You really want to get access to, not Jerry Henry, the Richard Quigley Memorial. Sorry about that. Richard has done a lot of work, and you can catch a lot of it at his website, which is usff.org. I believe it's usff.org. It might be .com. United States Freedom Fighters homepage, and you can get more information about him there. Got any thoughts about anything that you've heard? You, of course, can call in 427-3772 is the number here. Phone line is open. I'm Robert Norrison. You're listening to Free Radio 101.1 FM and freakradio.org.
I'll always remember you like a child girl.
We're talking with?
I don't want to do that.
Oh, okay. So where's this banana from?
I don't know.
Well, and so the story here is apparently that the very colorfully dressed woman, perhaps somewhat a daze in the world of the everyday, has been... jacked up by the police for stealing a banana. What's the skivvy on this, Jason?
I guess she was at that kiosk up the street there, and they said that she had stolen a banana. Yeah, I guess she left some money for the banana. I guess the police left her alone. She's quite careful.
Indeed. Did this happen today, or?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, she came running down. Do you think the police should go and do an arrest me? I said, for what? So she said that she had taken a banana from that kiosk up the street there. It was the banana. They wanted the money for it.
Well, banana theft is, of course, a growing problem on Pacific Avenue. How's everything been here at the Taro stand?
Oh, it's been wonderful, man.
Your attorney is going to face the prosecution tomorrow in court, Wednesday, the 23rd, on your behalf.
Hello. You should come over here and take him over today. I got to tell you something real quick.
You can hear Jason drawing in the community with his approach to the world. So, three misdemeanors and two infractions. Aren't you ashamed?
Kevin, I'm not ashamed either. They kissed my ass. They should be ashamed of even bringing that to court and having the taxpayer. They're all made up. These charges are made up. It's totally ridiculous. They're made up. The charges are completely false.
We're talking about two charges of swearing, one charge of fighting words, all three misdemeanors, and then two, ain't moved along every hour, boss.
Hello? It could be better if you come over here.
Boy.
Oh, okay, good for you.
Actually, I haven't spoken to God lately. Yeah. Anyway.
And Jason's attorney, Tony Bowl, a volunteer attorney, who has volunteered on a number of occasions to help folks, and Some feel he's done an okay job. Others, like myself, have been quite critical of Tony in spite of his good intentions. That's been discussed both in prior shows and will no doubt be discussed again. But the update on Jason is that he, I believe, was arraigned on Wednesday on three misdemeanors and two infractions. Three misdemeanors. I wasn't at the actual arraignment. I was at Jason's stand, which you can find, in case you're interested in talking to Jason, across from the Cinema 9 in front of Uptown Jeans or O'Neill's, that general area. Here's an earlier tape in which Jason speaks. And we can listen. So it's about 4:15 on Friday, November 18th, here at the Jason Pascal's Tarot table in front of Rouge here at Church and Pacific. Jason, you got some disquieting news from Attorney Tony Bowl today, your attorney.
Yes. Yeah, they told me that the District Attorney Lee, name in history, I'm sure, he charged me with using bad language, two misdemeanor counts of bad language in public, as well as fighting in public. And I wasn't fighting anybody. It's made up charges, and this is by a malicious little district attorney. He's a little racist. He's like one of these fake liberals, you know. He's a phony liberal.
And two other charges, a couple of infraction charges.
Yeah, refusing to move along. That was issued on Rosa Parks' birthday. Thanks a lot.
The move along law passed by the Rodkin Matthews Council. Well, so this is going to be a hearing in court on what day?
The 23rd of November at 8:15 in the morning, and you should be there.
Which court do we know?
Superior Court.
Okay, it's probably going to be an arraignment, and I take it you're going to plead not guilty?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to sue the city. I'm suing them. They're just violating all people's rights. And it's these little local merchants. I've asked people now, you know, you go shopping in this city, go to the merchants and ask them, do you support enforcing laws and ordinances against the artists and musicians and performers and psychics out on the street? And if they do, don't shop there. Don't purchase their goods.
I know that the Downtown Commission is supposedly, Kathy Bisbee, the Downtown Commission is looking into a three-year down-the-road examination of the downtown ordinances, one of which, apparently, you've gotten several citations under, and that's, of course, the 60 minutes in one spot, and then you got to move along ordinance. So that might be others concerned about this. You're out here a lot, Jason. Have you heard of any other incidents or in the last week had any other experiences with the police, good or bad?
Well, as you know, you were just over here and you talked to that guy that came by a moment ago and said that the police had told this girl what I'd upset. You know, it was right because she was being an asshole to me and I couldn't help it. I had to say something back to her. And I probably told her what time it was and she didn't like that. So she went and told the police and the police said that they were going to come over and give me tickets for anything they could find.
Wasn't this, in fact, the day that you got these citations for fighting and the bad language?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Now, hopefully you'll share with us your police report when you get it. Maybe you'll talk more about it and we can hear exactly what they're charging you with more particularly, since it sounds kind of strange.
Yeah, it's charging me with using bad language. I told the cop, I said, you look like an Indian. You know, I said, you look like, why aren't you, what's your problem? You know, I can say whatever I want to say. I wasn't threatening to hurt anybody, and I wasn't having a protest. I was just voicing my opinion. It's freedom of speech.
Thanks, Jason. If people want to assist you or get more information, any...
They can give me some money down here. They can come by and leave a couple of dollars. But that really rubs it in their face, pisses them off. You know, give me a couple of dollars, write a check. Come down, pat the Reverend on the back, give him a little bit of encouragement, you know, because I'm going to tell these people what time it is. They can kiss my ass. They're a bigger bunch of racists, and they're phony liberals. They're like a bunch of phony liberals that live here in this town, and they're really full of shit. Arrest me for that.
I'll be back with the police officer.
Now they have word police now.
Officer, over here. Well, what exactly language do you think the officers are going to claim made you guilty of the misdemeanor of wearing?
I don't know. All only thing I remember was I told the police woman who had come over here helping them to write me a ticket. I said she looked like Lindy England, and I wish she was over in Iraq because I feel a lot safer with her over there than here.
Lindy, of course, was the MP who Abu Ghraibed a bunch of people and then got convicted for it.
Yeah, yeah.
There you have it.
She kind of looked like that type.
Dig it. But let's not. We're talking to the infamous and sometimes close-lipped Roger. Roger, how's life treating you?
Life is treating me good, despite the details.
Now, we know that you've been rather secretive about your camping ticket. Why? I have no... You get a camping ticket, and note this, folks, for those of you who have gotten camping or sleeping tickets in Santa Cruz, under Municipal Code 6.36010, that if you go to the Homeless Service Center and talk with either Marcus or any of the other local bureaucrats there, they can give you a form that states that the shelter was full that night. What that really means, of course, is they should be going to city council and the police department and stopping the ticketing and harassment, because we all know the shelter is full. The shelter is full every night. What they want to do is they want to run homeless people to their paces, run over to the homeless shelter, run to the court, and so forth. Your comments, Roger?
To get your ticket waived, and I invite everybody to come to the court, which is, of course, tomorrow morning, the day before Thanksgiving at 8:30 in the morning. There's a number of cases going at the same time. Tim Bratton's tried to have two veterans restrained from going in the veterans building. One of them I'm going to help is Robert Hutchinson. I just filed a 25-page friend of the court brief, which right after the court trial, I'll be glad to make the...
details, no.
Boy, that's correct. But we really have to give the judge and the process first dibs on the information.
We're talking to an anomalous observer. So what just happened up the street?
Well, I was just walking along, and I just noticed that the cop's a big, fat, white guy. I don't know what his name is. I haven't seen him around. But anyway, he's, like, writing up a ticket to the cello player, the artist who plays the cello that everybody knows. This is a fine job of just entertaining the masses. They're busting him while people are selling drugs and doing other illegal activities just right around the corner.
Where is the cello player playing?
I was playing out in front of the Gap.
And what was the, did you catch why the cello player got this citation?
You know, those rules about downtown, where you can, where you can't be, that kind of thing.
The forbidden zones.
The forbidden zone. Yeah, and they also told him that he couldn't play with the cello in front of him because it was an obstacle, so he had to play with the cello on the side. Now, it's interesting to know, there's one of the fuckers right there, that...
Scar 159, the white Santa Cruz police car.
That the police are going to dictate how to play a musical instrument.
Well, it's an insistence to locals who don't quite understand these things.
Well, you know, he's probably never picked up a musical instrument in his life, that
but
big,
fat... But he doesn't understand the security aspects of the cello, you see. The police are very, very good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know, Robert.
Here's a man playing in front of O'Neill's, strumming away on a, looks like an Iranian instrument, perhaps.
Japanese
instrument. And he is, of course, playing illegally because he has a display device within 10 feet of a building.
Yeah, and he's got some money in there and some CDs, too.
Right.
And he's jamming.
Now, however, of course, there's more space here, so maybe they have the impression that even though it's illegal, it's more permissible. Or maybe, I'm not sure. Let's go talk. I'll go talk to the cello player and find out exactly what's going down.
Well, I was thinking, it's like, you know, every now and then they change up the roster and they run some new big fat pigs downtown who haven't been downtown and they don't know who's who downtown, and they just start harassing everybody, you know, and then they're not doing anything to take care of crime at all. All they're doing is harassing people.
Certainly a cynical view from a vicious attacker of the police department. I can talk with you no further, sir. Given a citation a few minutes ago. It's about 4:20. Just did you attack the police officer with your cello, perhaps?
Only with the musical notes that were coming out of it.
So, what actually happened? You didn't describe this incident for us. Do you mind if we say who you are, your name? You want to say who you are?
Sure. I'm Brandon, the cello player.
And you've been playing here, what, for at least a year, right?
Oh, almost 2 years now.
And, you know, your music is well known. Of course, you're a known heroin dealer and an infamous terrorist, too, correct?
That is correct, Bob.
Yes. So this officer came up to you and he objected to your display device, which is in a guitar case with some coins in it, being too far out into the sidewalk?
That is correct as well. However, my case wasn't obstructing the sidewalk nearly as much as somehow he thought it was in his mind. So not only that, but I think it's a misallocation of valuable law enforcement resources to be dealing with such petty bullshit when they should really be actually focusing on the task at hand, which is fighting real crime and keeping citizens safe.
Not to mention putting out good music on the sidewalk.
Precisely.
Did he say that anyone had complained?
I'm sorry?
Did he claim there was a complaint?
No. No complaints. Oppress and persecute somebody who doesn't have a gun and who has done nothing to anyone that would, like, warrant such an action to be taken.
Now, this officer has had previous encounters with you?
Oh, yeah.
He apparently has a problem with your display case at different points because he thinks it's too far out into the sidewalk. Right now, it's, of course, fairly close to you, and this is the narrow side of the sidewalk in front of the gap, but it's 2, 4, 6, 8. It's about 12, 14 feet wide.
Not to mention the parameters for street musicians being out here and the relationship with, you know, the individuals and the companies and also the structures themselves ticketing people either, and it doesn't make much sense to me that they can be so inconsistent yet claim to uphold, like, you know, the municipal code.
In other words, it seems possibly, is this a way of putting it, selective and arbitrary?
I think it's pretty deliberate, yeah. And definitely, you know, selective and very discriminatory, especially to those on the lower income bracket. So.
Well, it's interesting. The Downtown Commission is investigating these downtown ordinances or trying to do an update 3 years after they were passed and is wondering if any street performers feel harassed or otherwise abused under them. This is an email I received secondhand from Kathy Bisbee of the Downtown Commission. Have you got any thoughts you'd like to pass on to the community of the Downtown Commission about your broader experience with the police down here and with performers and how they are all interacting?
I would, but I must say that I am not really that well informed about the Downtown Commission, and I don't really know what their function is exactly, so I couldn't really make any comments to a body of people that I don't know much about.
Sure.
But I will make it a point to find out more.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brandon. And how can people be supportive to you? Because this ticket, I guess, they'll ask you to make a court date, and then in about a month.
Checking out that they want to charge me like $496 or some crazy number like that. I mean, how am I supposed to even afford to pay for that ticket, let alone like feed myself? It doesn't really make much sense. They have these outrageous fines that, like, you know, they. I mean, it's like they would know that I would be unable to pay it. I mean. And they're going to start reinstituting reintroducing the debtor's prison. You know, I have no idea, but for the time being, I basically have a ticket I cannot pay.
How many police officers were involved in this?
Just two. Just two officers.
And was the squad car double parked during this?
No, nothing like that. There wasn't anything that would indicate them, you know, being completely invasive and...
So this is the second ticket you've gotten in about a year's time? Or?
Oh, yeah. This is ticket number two. At least one a year. You know.
What happened with ticket number one? What was the deal with that?
Oh, I was sitting down by the San Lorenzo River. I wasn't even doing anything, and they ticketed the shit out of me there. And I didn't really understand because people go down there all the time. And they claimed that there was restoration being done, and I took a look around, and I see nothing but rebar and old parts of the bridge that was blown down like so many years ago. And I'm like, there has been no restoration here. Not to mention, I'm not having any type of impact really, like, you know, in the immediate area that I was sitting in, so, you know, it didn't really make
crushing the underbrush or something, that was
no,
the plan?
No, crushing the sand.
Crushing the sand?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty
crushing
serious.
Sand, that's terrible.
That was yesterday while he played cello in front of the Gap. The claim, I didn't talk to Brierley, but the claim according to the citation was, according to the witness who he spoke to, was that his guitar case was too far out, and that he had been warned before about his guitar case. And when I spoke with a merchant and another activist, they said that when Brandon played in confined spaces, like in front of New Leaf Market, they had observed his guitar case creeping out into the avenue. But when I came upon him, his guitar case was not out very far. Of course, it was after the ticket. And I noticed a pretty large amount of space between him and the Gap. There's about 14 feet worth of space on that side of the sidewalk. on Pacific Avenue. Of course, the so he's facing several citations, one for what's called obstructing the movement on the sidewalk, which I think is not it's a bogus citation. Unless you refuse to move what you're doing, it's not. There's no legal basis for it. In other words, if you happen to be obstructing the sidewalk where you're standing, and the officer tells you and you agree to move, then that resolves the problem. It's not clear what happened there with Officer Brierley. It is clear that Brandon got a ticket, and Brandon's kind of a fixture of downtown area. He's been around a lot. His music is well respected. He's the only cellist downtown that I know, at least the only regular street performing cellist. And I don't know. I mean, my reaction to Brierley when I talked to him informally, he's a nice guy. However, I know that when he went to court, at one time there was quite a serious set of charges against him with respect to 74-year-old Mary Curry, who's a slight woman who was evicted from her home about 3 or 4 years ago. And is now, I think she's with Homeless Services, and at one point they had Brierley remove her from the Homeless Services, and she went to court in a case where Brierley was an opposing witness, and there was quite a brouhaha over that. What about the issue, though, of the downtown ordinances? I think that by their nature, and by the downtown ordinances, I mean the laws that make it illegal to play on 95 to sit on 95% of the sidewalks downtown and 100% of any sidewalks elsewhere near buildings. The laws make it illegal to have a display device, whether it's a cup or an open guitar case or a table with political literature, on most of the sidewalks downtown and virtually all the other sidewalks throughout the city near businesses. It's hard to believe this is true, you'll say, but it is. That's the law. You have to be 10 feet away from a business, and the sidewalks, say, for example, up at the Rio Theater or at Shopper's Corner or other places in other business districts, are 10 feet wide. So you can't, if you put your display device on top of a vehicle in the parking space, or maybe in a parking space in the street, you could have probably violate some other ordinance. So the laws they were created by Riley and Porter, and then endorsed by Matthews and Rotkin and the entire Gang of Seven, are bad laws, and laws are essentially done to fluff the merchants, to pander to their feeling that give the police as much power as you want so they can ignore most of the people who are violating the law, but then go after the people that they consider to be, quote, problems. And as I've said many a time, this is the formula for a police state. Set the laws evenly and equally and make the laws fair. Now, I keep mentioning this email about the Downtown Commission looking into the laws 3 years later. Well, not too hopeful on this issue because, the Downtown Commission's attempts last time, though they did actually come out against the ordinances, or at least the ordinances they referred to street performers, they were not successful in having any kind of impact. And then, of course, they led no real protest demonstrations. And the only person who had an impact on changing the laws was someone like Tom Noddy, who 6 months after the laws were passed, and he found that he was getting the runaround from the city, that it originally claimed they were going to exempt juggling from this. He decided he would juggle downtown, and he did until he was arrested, and then he was jailed for a period of time, and he then called on jugglers everywhere, including the Flying Karamazov brothers, to come to town and do some illegal juggling.
Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You your conviction, let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail, Justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
And that, of course, was Ann Feeney. Have you been to jail for justice? Not always the best thing to go to jail, just because it's... But it still sometimes can be a very strong statement, and the willingness to do it is an important thing to have. For example, it served SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression performers, very well on their 93rd week of violating the downtown ordinances in front of New Leaf Market, where they have a weekly event every Wednesday between 6 and 10 in the evening. They were there again last night, and they're for their 95th event, and not harassed by the police, even though they were, in fact, in technical violation of the downtown ordinances. And, of course, we talked about that on the air when with Coral and Greg, who stood up to the police and said, take us to jail. We have a caller. Let's see what's cooking here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, sir. I have called from Los Angeles.
Oh, great.
About Proposition 63, you said?
Yes.
Okay, well, go ahead. I know a little about it, so I'd like to hear about it and
okay.
How it would impact.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned 63. That was, of course, a proposition, sort of the millionaire's tax.
Yes.
It was passed at the last election with support from both mental health bureaucrats and lefties and liberals and some rights of people who are, quote, mentally ill, unquote.
Aren't we all?
What's that?
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all, yes. Well, some of us have... Yeah, and these days, you'd have to be crazy not to be mentally ill.
Well, I mean, to be human, one of the definitions of being human is to be insane.
Huh.
Because we are all... I mean, if you told a cat that at some point she's going to die and understood this, that animal would immediately freak out.
You think so?
And we live with this idea of mortality all the time. But anyway,
that's interesting.
I am getting highfalutin.
Not highfalutin, actually. I think it's a really important... You know, interestingly enough, at the SAFE event, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, number 95 last night, a woman came up to me who is a member of the local mental health clients group that kind of it has some sort of government connection with getting funding and... she was concerned about the appropriation or malappropriation of these Proposition 63 funds. And at some point, I hope to have her on the air talking about this issue. Of course, in the past, I've had patient advocate Sally Zinman. Of course, our local psychiatric inmates' rights collective activist Jane Kaiser has been on the air talking about this. But the bottom line was when this issue was raised last fall, what guarantees did we have that this money would not go to such things as forced drugging, forced institutionalization, and Evely, who writes for Street Spirit newspaper and is an activist with BOSS, it's Better Outreach, Berkeley Outreach Support Services, I think it's called, pointed out his concern that Proposition 63 funding was being dumped into sort of catch-as-catch-can mental health systems so that the law passed 2 years ago, which you may know about, caller, or may not know, which is AB 1421, Helen Thompson's bill. This is a law that weakens the protections you have if you wish to avoid being hospitalized against your will. Normally, under Lanham & Pepper Short Act, which is the law that governs, you know, what's called 5150s or involuntary commitments, you can only be taken into this kind of custody if you are considered to be a danger to yourself, a danger to others, or gravely disabled. And, of course, that gets stretched all the time. People get held under the most transparent and thin of reasons for that. But those supposedly the safeguards Under Thompson's 1421, it was altered so that you, there has to be a chance of your seriously deteriorating to the condition that you would be in yourself danger as a gravely disabled and have a diagnosis of mental illness. And then there was a third condition. Oh, you had to, this had to be the least oppressive alternative or least restrictive alternative. And there also had to be funding for the services. And this is the key. This was the key because no counties had the money to fund except your own LA County, which only did so in a very limited way using actually prisoners, not ordinary people in civil society who might be hospitalized as a matter of course, but people inside the prisons. It will come into play. And frankly, I haven't done any recent research of mine, and I hope that makes you a little more nervous, caller.
Well, I'm a very nervous man in many respects, and a very calm man in others. But in this square block of West Los Angeles, there are at least 6 homeless people, even as we speak tonight.
Right.
And they are all, they could all be helped in some way. They are in different levels of deterioration. There's a man here who has been homeless, sleeping by a high wall of a telephone exchange building for 20 years.
You talked to him recently about that?
You cannot talk to this gentleman.
Have you attempted to talk to him?
You really can't.
Wait a minute. No. Answer me directly. Have you ever gone up to him and said, "Hey, how are you doing?"
Well, I have. If you see him, once I asked another homeless man to give him some money, and this man refused.
Uh huh.
And I said, "One prior offers of help." He has a certain routine.
Uh huh.
That he follows.
Right.
By which he secures coffee and cigarettes.
Right.
That's all he wants.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, but regardless of my relationship with him, this man has, I have seen him with my own eyes, be out there for 20 years.
Right. But he's been able to survive for 20 years, right?
He has survived, and he's a walking example of the fact that you can continuously chain smoke cigarettes for all your waking hours and still.
Hey, you should get a tobacco company subsidy here.
Be alive. They're all.
Uh-huh.
There are other homeless people who are not, who can be dangerous. So anyway, my point is that these people can be helped. There was a piece in broadcast on National Public Radio by a columnist of the Los Angeles Times about a homeless man who's a trained classical violin player.
Right.
He's been in downtown Los Angeles for 30 years.
Right.
And he's schizophrenic. He's been diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Uh-huh.
So, these cases.
I do have something against forcing people to accept your kind of help. And the reason I have that problem, I don't know if you've heard the shows I've done with Grace Jackson and Robert Whitaker.
Well, I heard some. I've heard a few shows about people being the one flew over the cuckoo's nest syndrome, basically.
Right, right. But it's more than
that.
The solution of choice these days is medication. There's a huge pharmaceutical investment and a huge psychiatric commitment and a huge collusion with the government. And I talk about regulatory agencies that supposedly control in terms of mandating these drugs for not only people who are, diagnosed schizophrenic or psychotic or manic depressive or bipolar, but for children, there's a huge increase in this kind of drug shit, frankly.
There is a book actually reviewed in this issue of LA Weekly.
Uh-huh.
And if you put LA Weekly in Google, you can go to their website and read it. I think it's called Dizziness May Result. Anyway, it is a book about pharmaceutical and their marketing of psychoactive drugs. They spend up to $12,000 per physician in this country per year.
Take it.
Adds up to tens of billions of dollars basically to push their brand. And they are, they are the major drug dealers of this country.
Big time, big
so
time.
It goes on and on.
You know, and this is something I would encourage people to. Yeah, I'm looking at that website right now. Books May Cause Dizziness.
Yeah.
Greg Kritzner's Generation Rex: How Prescription Drugs Are Altering American Lives, Minds, and Bodies. Similarly, Robert Whitaker's book was called Mad in America, and a lot of it was about the history of failed but fashionable psychiatric treatments, one after another, all the way down to the current use of first psycholeptics and then and atypical drugs, which are supposed, you know, that which have been touted as magic bullets, but actually, according to World Health Organization figures, are worse for you than letting yourself, you know, go into remission naturally. I mean, they find that countries such as Nigeria, I guess India, and there's a third one, which don't have, like Western Europe and the U.S., this massive infusion of psychiatric drugs, you know, you get a proportion of it because of family support structures. It has to do, they've actually found, with the fact that these drugs create increased dopamine receptors in the brain, or inhibitors in the case of the antidepressant drugs. So, I mean, at least that's the persuasive claim in the books of Whitaker. And I think also it hasn't really been successfully confuted as far as I can see. So I would encourage you to take a look at this. You can go online on, I don't know if he's got the back issues, but the Street Spirit website has some of this stuff on the psychiatric drugs. You, of course, can, you know, you can look around for it. I think Dendron is another site. And, of course, what you suggested, caller, May Cause Dizziness, L.A. Weekly. I haven't looked it over, but it looks like it might be interesting, too.
L.A. Weekly is our now a giant corporate-owned alternative newspaper.
Yeah, God help you, yeah.
Been here, wish us all luck. And since we are talking about drugs, have you ever heard of lycopene?
Lycopene.
Yes.
Maybe, but I'm not sure. Inform me.
Well, lycopene is that which makes tomatoes red.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And watermelons red. And rose hip kills most people in this country, which is heart attack and cancer. It particularly makes people immune to prostate cancer. They know that. In fact, they give it to people who have already prostate cancer.
Okay, so it's good for people who have cancer, not bad. Or are you saying,
well,
it's bad for people? It promotes cancer?
But the point is that it's a readily available, very powerful antioxidant.
Uh-huh, right.
And effective in such readily available and easily consumable food as canned tomato sauce, tomato paste, spaghetti sauce, chili sauce, pizza sauce, things like that.
So it's time to go get a pizza immediately.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you eat these kinds of foods that are really not hard to eat,
right,
and kind of start to build a diet around them, Indian food, you know, most traditional cuisines do include preserved tomato in their recipe. You know, Italians do, Indians do, Iranians do, et cetera, et cetera. And you think, why? Cuisines that have developed over thousands of years. He was not mentally ill by any stretch of imagination, but beyond a certain point, he would retreat into religion.
Right, but my question, I guess, to you is, you originally began this conversation by asking about Proposition 63.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I mean, I'm interested in L.A. recently because the L.A. Times talks about these new plans to get the homeless off the streets, and I guess to stop the homeless dumping in L.A. And I guess L.A., for the last few years, because of the ACLU's court action, police have been somewhat dumbfounded in their attempts to destroy homeless encampments in Skid Row areas, right?
Well, they can't really, but by law today, they cannot tell a homeless person to just get off the street.
See, that's interesting, because in Santa Cruz, of course, they can. And
they can.
Well, the municipal code, you can't sit on any of the sidewalk here except this 5%. To, if you have a sign out after dark, that's illegal. There's a variety of stuff, too. Let's just check an ID you for the hell of it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that can be used in Santa Cruz. L.A., however, seems to have gotten some protection from this ACLU lawsuit.
Idea, and we may disagree on this violently or semi-violently.
Right.
Or,
well,
or
I'm not feeling too violent tonight. It's all that church.
It's to the person's detriment, whether they are aware of it or not. Deep down, nobody wants to be there. And it's also really, from my experience of having to call the police here and being really in intimate terms with the police division here over this, that it also really brings down the quality of life for everybody. Because not all of these people are nonviolent. They do things that are indefensible sometimes. And
yeah, but really ask yourself, caller, you know, I can take the trite example of the man who's in the biggest, brightest, whitest house in the country and what he's doing to our country compared to what your friend, you know, who's out there on the sidewalk with the violin or even the person who's being, you know, obnoxious.
But just, you know, Robert, I tell you something.
Right.
There is one of the books that I read habitually
uh-huh.
is the diaries of a man named Klemperer, who survived the Third Reich, and he was Jewish and he was married to an Aryan woman.
His name is again?
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, the diaries of?
His name is you know, the Otto Klemperer, who was the conductor of Boston Symphony Orchestra. His name is Victor Klemperer. He was his cousin.
Spell his name.
Victor Klemperer. It is. I have to go here.
Sounds like Klemperer.
Klemperer.
Right.
And Victor with a C.
And your point, of course, is that.
My point is that these diaries are fascinating because he didn't want anybody to read it. And you know, when you get into this political context, he says that, you know, suffering a thousand little nicks and paper cuts every day is worse than being annihilated.
Is worse than being annihilated?
Worse than being, you know, because if you're you know, just taken to the gas chamber and killed one day, or if you become, I don't know, the victim of George Bush's wrath one day, and they take you to Guantanamo.
If you're an Al Jazeera reporter one day, and you get
Al Jazeera, and you're,
or you get white phosphorus down,
or whatever. That's one thing, but to live in a kind of society where there are all these irritations. I mean, within the past week, I've had to call the police three times here because of certain things that have happened in the neighborhood.
On homeless people outside, you mean?
Well, yeah, because past a point, it really becomes dangerous.
Well, I'm not criticizing.
I'm just trying
to clarify.
It has happened. Also, you know, there are other irritations now, such as telemarketers who are becoming a gateway crime to identity theft, and I've had to deal with that and that and that. You know, it's becoming kind of unnerving.
You're considering going postal, I'll bet.
Well, I don't go postal. But you have to look into it. I cannot, you know.
Well, I think you know that's sort of a broad critique, which I think, you know, maybe profoundly true. Of course, the problem is that I feel my sympathies lie to some extent, or my interest lies in the rights of people who are out there, not you and I so much, who are inside. I mean, I think we have multiply more rights. However much, you know, I think the quality of our life is far more dangerously attacked by what people in positions of power do than it is by what people who choose or are forced to live on the streets do. I don't think people should be forced to live on the streets. And I think you're probably right. I probably very few people would choose to do that in a different kind of society. But remember, that can be one response to our society, and you can't cure it by saying, well, we'll just sweep them all off the streets. You have to change the society so that people don't feel forced, aren't either forced into those choices, or in other words, I don't think it helps to eliminate that kind of breathing room, however fetid the air in the breathing room.
Well, I am as I reach my golden years, I also believe after having lived a life of many, you know, quote unquote dogmas or positions from a progressive or left or whatever point of view, I also really think that whether it's George Bush or our friend or you know,
or Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, undocumented workers. I had an interesting discussion about a gentleman here who employs undocumented workers up in Napa and his brother in Philadelphia who has never seen one and thinks that they are the worst thing that happened to this country. So he was this is an example of how a person understands an issue and a person who has never been exposed to it doesn't understand it. And racist ideas and complete ignorance.
We're kind of jumping around, though.
I know that.
Let's see if we can kind of sum it up and roll it out.
Whether it's George Bush, whether it's homelessness, it's much more effective to understand the motivation and the reasoning behind what people do than to, come up with slogans that do not serve us well. Progressives are in trouble because of that.
Huh.
What John Mercer did and what Cindy Sheehan did in explaining the issues should be the new model for progressive activism than saying, oh, George Bush, Dick Cheney, oh, don't tell me about him. Oh.
Expression of outrage and rejection comes usually at the end of some rather extensive analysis. It doesn't usually happen because they don't like the color of Condi's hair or, they don't like Bush's twang. It doesn't happen for that reason. And I think it's not so much Sheehan's words, it's her actions. And Murtha is, he's notable because he gets, he's gotten the media. So is Sheehan, for that matter, because they've gotten the media. They've gotten other people probably far more worthy, maybe even, than the two of them. We don't hear about them, and because we don't hear about them much, we hear about them fleetingly. They don't seem so important to us. I don't find Sheehan particularly eloquent. I'm impressed with what she does. And Murtha's proposal to get out of Iraq doesn't impress me much at all, frankly. But let me take up these topics at another time.
Yes, sir. It's been a pleasure for this extended holiday conversation.
Hey. Good to hear from you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open. We have about 12 minutes left in the show. I can be led into lengthy discussions. And we're talking about a caller who's usually very concise, and I think... It continues to be so. It's just that there's a rich subject that goes in a number of different directions. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 427-3772. I'm Robert. This is Bathurst Spears Broadsides. You are tuned to 101.1 FM and freakradio.org.
We're closed, and he was stranded with his dog, so I took him to go recycle somewhere else. But, He needs like a pair of pants or sweatpants because all he's got is a pair of shorts right now. And I was wondering if maybe there's any way you could help him out.
I got no pants on the air. Actually, you're dealing with somebody right now who's living out of their car at the moment.
But
if anybody wants to help you out, you want to give a phone number, and anybody wants to volunteer a pair of pants.
Yeah, kick down. I figured it'd help by calling you if you could. You said maybe you know somewhere somebody who could.
Thanksgiving, I've never been terribly strong, frankly, on the social services aspect of this. I'm more the guy who talks about the civil rights aspects. But people do listen to me who are concerned about that. So if you want to give out your number and you want people to call you with offers of pants, and if you want to give a size out, do it. And maybe people will give you a call.
Okay. I'll find that out, and should I just leave it on the Huff line, or?
You can do that, but people are only going to hear it now or on Sunday because
Okay.
I suggest probably, I don't know what to tell you, I think of secondhand organizations, I think of, it's interesting, we don't have a free box here in Santa Cruz, and we should, or if we do, I don't know where one is.
Hold on a second, yeah. He's right here.
In his shorts, and, and one pair of dirty socks.
Right. I don't have anything to help you with here in the studio. If Andrea wants to give out her phone number now and people want to call you with some offers of assistance, they can. But frankly, it's not really the best way to go about it as far as I know. I mean, it might work. I mean, Yeah. Do you have anything you want to say about, you know, about... Were you talking about about recycling?
You know, my dog and I are, you know, we're not originally from Santa Cruz. We've only been here... We're walking from San Francisco to Venice Beach.
Okay.
But, you know, she's been really getting me interested in your show.
Uh-huh. Now, did you have, were you trying to do some recycling here in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
What happened?
That's what we've been doing
to survive. Did you get hassled by police for doing so?
Trying to get my SSI back.
Uh-huh.
I'm having a problem with that. You know, they keep giving me the runaround. You know, I just, my options are just to leave and just keep recycling.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just putting me through a lot.
Right. Well, I mean, you want to talk about it specifically, you can. Normally, it's really... Interesting enough, at the Thanksgiving meal tonight, I ran into somebody, maybe it was you, who talked about being harassed as a recycler. And that's become was that you?
No.
Must be somebody.
But we
else.
Have been, I mean. Yeah,
here in Santa
my
Cruz?
My dog and I have been stopped. And
in Santa Cruz or elsewhere?
Yes.
Okay, what were you stopped for?
For recycling, and they said, well, you know, it's illegal.
It's illegal to recycle.
To recycle. And it's like trespassing. And
were you going on private property and looking in people's private?
Yeah, and
okay.
You know, most of what my dog and I do are just the blue bins that are put out on the street. I mean, we don't go into, you know, residential, you know, housing or anything like that. We only hit the ones that are out on the street getting ready to be picked up.
Well, you know, it's
and I don't understand why that, you know, they're harassing, you know.
Well, I was
us, you know, for
Robert.
Recycling.
Robert,
I mean, it's stuff that
Robert.
Other people don't want. That's why they throw it away.
Right. No, I hear you, Robert.
So,
hello, Robert. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was handed a piece of paper by a guy on the recycling issue just tonight. It was a quote from the Mercury News, which says that Some conservative resident up in Campbell, which is, you know, near San Jose, said,
"We're losing money." What the San Jose Mercury News guy said was, "Raiding recycling containers is against the law, according to the Campbell Municipal Code. However, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that trash set out at the curb on public property is in the public domain. Now, this should mean it's legal for you to go into public recycling and take what you need, because frankly, I think you needed more than the city manager. That's my view. I don't know you. You know, I don't know what you do with the money, but I have a general sympathy for people who are poorer on that situation. And it sounds like you are. So,
our decision here, I don't know if the San Jose Mercury writer is accurate, but it's an interesting issue, and it's been brought up before on the show, and I actually have some interviews on it, but I got to go. So I'll give you a moment to put in your last word, and then I'm going to roll on you. Anything else you want to say?
I think, you know, the whole situation is a bunch of shit. I mean, it's just my opinion, and probably a lot of other people out there, but... You know, I recycle because I don't believe in welfare. I don't believe in food stamps. You know, I don't believe in all that. I've been working most of my life. Now I'm disabled, and right now I'm trying to fight for my Social Security back. And right now, the only thing I'm not out there flying a sign, and I'm not out there begging for money. The only thing is that, you know, I make enough money to support me and my dog, and that's all we're doing. We're not drug addicts. We don't do anything except trying to survive. I just don't see where there's a problem with, you know, homeless recycling. There is a a line, because there's a lot of people out there that recycle, that leave messes, and, you know, and people just don't like it. Well, there's a lot of us out there that don't, you know, we, you know, just recycle, and no, we respect, you know, other people's, you know, trash and everything, but as long as, you know, I mean, we don't make a mess, and just collect our bottles and cans. And just go, and we don't make a lot of money.
Robert,
my dog and I, we're like making maybe $12 at the most.
Hey, Robert.
You know, during the day.
Robert.
Yeah.
How? What's your dog's name?
Pardon?
What's your dog's name?
Missy.
Hey, Missy. And.
Pardon?
How long you been in Santa Claus for recycling
twice.
Crime? Say it again.
Two times.
Twice. And what did the police tell you on those occasions?
I'm having a hard time hearing you, but...
What did they tell you when you were stopped?
They're always telling me you're trespassing. You're on private property.
Uh-huh.
And they people put out their, you know, recyclable, you know, bins, and we just go by and pick them up. We don't go in anybody's yard or backyard or anything like that. We just sit. What we see on the sidewalk,
they're able to put it out. Robert, there's a gentrification campaign going on in Santa Cruz where they want to not just, you know, squeeze every penny they can out of recycling and return it to the, you know, I don't know, the salaries of the city employees, but there's also an attempt to drive people like you away. That's the deal. I mean, that's what it's all about. They want to turn this into an upper-scale deal, an upper-scale community, where, the unsightly and poverty.
Alrighty.
Thanks.
So it's about 8:02. We, of course, have that master who has exposed the recycling scandal, the infamous Skidmark Bob, who has just entered the studio and is chewing up all my chewing gum. I suppose it's Thanksgiving, and I should be more charitable about this whole matter. He's here, of course, for Uncle Dennis's show. He will probably engage in the usual abusive interchange in order to keep up Uncle Dennis's revenue. That's it.
Yeah. The goddamn mic,
there,
Robert.
There you
goddamn
go. See, that's down. There you go. That's the Uncle Dennis I know and love. And I am indeed going to be forced to, of course, make an unseemly exit here. Recycling is a real issue. In fact, Skidmark has written about this for Indie Media, and he's actually done a show. I don't know if you've written. You've got a show about it that's logged on Indie Media. Is that right?
Well, all I did was read the that quarterly newsletter.
With our taxpayer dollars, it was a nice bigoted newsletter. 4 pages of bigotry get put out at
Public Works.
You can get it by going to the you go to the Santa Cruz City website and look up Public Works. You can find this newsletter, which talks about the menace of the recycler. We heard one of these criminals just a moment ago. As you can see, we probably need to run them all out of town. But first, let's let's pants the city manager. That's
start with Robert Norris.
Well, yeah, I think we should start with the recycled council members. That's what I think we should do. I was going to talk about the pot club deal up in San Francisco. There's been a new ruling up there. I'll hopefully be talking about that again. Getting a lot of claims that the stream is skipping. By the way, the our own broadcasting stream, Bob. I know you're
right. Got to come in and look at it right now.
Yeah, he's going to check it out. I'll be playing a lot of stuff on Sunday. A bunch of people were arrested in Crawford, Texas, in an attempt to resume Camp Casey, and there's some interesting stuff on. A lot of stuff has come out in the last week around torture, white phosphorus. Talk about some of that, though no doubt will be superseded by even newer scandals when I get back on Sunday. So thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. I will hope to hear from you again on 9:30 in the morning. I think the show will be archived at huffsantacruz.org. It's supposed to be, and I'm going to have to sleep in tonight, actually, but that's another matter. At least I have a vehicle, and I have some friends, and that's a good thing. So thank you for being with me in this edition, and come back at another time on 9:30 in the morning on Sunday, and we'll do it again. In the meantime, give me a call at 423-HUFF if you've got information you want to pass on, you want to be on the air, you got a few abusive comments to exchange, and we'll talk more. Thanks again. See you next time.
course of their life. You thought it was over, but it's just like before. Will there never be an end to the Indian War? You thought it was over, but it's just like before. Will there never be an end to the Indian War?